Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand. Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
Hey, welcome back to the program, everybody. If you're just joining us, welcome to the Rod Peterson Show on this Wednesday, November the 13th. Thanks for joining us for coffee on this Wednesday morning, episode number 114. And before we jump right into the CFL talk with Nick Lewis and Dan Rashevich, two Hall of Famers right here in the bunker, because it's episode 114, we're recognizing number 14s. And Brady in Saskatoon has written us on the Prairie Mobile text line. Your authorized SaskTel Mobility Center says the number 14s, Brendan Shanahan, Jamie Benn, Travis Lule, Stephon Diggs, Nick Suzuki, Chris Kunitz, Thomas Plekanec, to name a few. Number 14s.
Tim McCray.
There's another one for you. Yeah, he's doing well, from what I understand. Yeah. Prairie Mobile. Buy now, pay later with Prairie Mobile. All smartphones are $0 every day using SaskTel Plus pricing. And trust me, that's what I do. We welcome to CFL receiving king Nick Lewis and special teams tackles king Dan Rashevich. Right, Raz? The unofficial special teams.
Unofficial king.
You racked up half years before
Where's
they started.
Where's Mike Miller?
Yeah, that's true.
Got a long that's way true. To go, Mike. Long way to go.
Well, guys, I don't even know where to start other than to say you guys clearly know each other. Is that through alumni events or something? You looked pretty happy to see each other when you came in here.
Well, you know, I get up in the alumni suite last year when I was just hanging out here in Regina. Got to meet a lot of wonderful people and everything. So
that's where it's from, huh?
It was good.
And just over time, you know, I guess because Nick's been living in Regina as well. So, yeah, more of the alumni connection, but no.
I can't imagine what it's like being that Stamps guy living in enemy territory, really. Because I got all these messages all the time, Nick, texts, tweets. I think I just saw Nick Lewis on the treadmill at Gold's. And I'm like, well, you probably did. What's that been like?
Hey, that lets you know how much I work out.
Exactly.
I'm always working out. There's nothing to do here but work out.
Unfortunately, true. That's why everybody's in such great shape, right, Raz?
Well, it extended my career.
It's a cold, dark country.
Nick, I must say this because everybody is wondering. From the second you walked in, people are saying, what's Nick's status? You were wearing a BC Lions coat, so still with the BC Lions?
Yeah, you know, I'm still under contract with the BC Lions to the end of this year, and it's all dependent on who the next head coach is and, you know, try to get some interviews in other places and do some things. So I definitely want to still stay in that coaching world. And I had a lot of fun.
Did you?
Yeah, it was great.
Well, where did you first dabble in it? Was it with the Riders in camp with Jones or was
yes.
it? Yeah. So what made you want to do this?
Well, I mean, coaching is my dream job. It was never playing. When you're a Division II walk-on, it's not like you're like, oh, I'm going to go play professional football for 14 years. So it was always to be a coach. I just took a little detour and ended up back here and got in a training camp with the Riders last year as a guest coach. I enjoyed that. Would have loved to stick around for the season, but my mother got pancreatic cancer, so took some time off to deal with that, and now she's cancer-free. And then we got into BC this year. I've trained kids for 11 years now back in Texas. The last of my kids that I've been training are going off to college this year, Oklahoma and Utah. And so, yeah, I got one at Alabama. I had one at Kansas State. Got one at Northwestern. So I've been doing it as a service, man. You got to be a service to people, so that's what I enjoy.
Good for you, because I see these coaches now that are like Chaim and his whole crew are just twisting in the wind, waiting to hear me. It's not an easy way to live, Raz. No. You've known coaches your whole life, obviously.
I've done some coaching when I was done football. I coached UFC for a little bit, the Colts in Calgary for a little bit, high school football in Calgary, and it's a lot of time. It's a lot of time, a lot of giving. I mean, it's a lot of work, you know, but if that's your passion, you know, you got to go for it. And obviously, hey, Nick's
good for you,
Nick. Coach.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where you want to see people do well. I was fortunate. I played with Brandon Rutley for 3 years in Montreal. So to be able to coach him, that's where you know how people really feel about you is once you become that coach, now where's the respect level? And me and Brandon, we're in the same chat group with Steph Logan and John Bowman and BJ Cunningham and Ernest Jackson. So there's so many guys. So we still have that friendship at the same time and that coach-player relationship that really allows us to go out and do some great things. So it was good. Yeah.
But you, they say that's very tough. to go right from player to coach. It was tough for Ronnie, they said, here in, what was it, 79 when he did it with the Riders. It tells me the respect they have for you, for one, and two, that you have a stoic way. I mean, when you probably went from player to coach, like snap of a finger, I would think.
Oh, man, I've been basically coaching since for the last 8 years.
Right, right.
You know, because people listen to my opinion, especially when it comes to sports. So that's been a part of me to be able to help guys out. And at the end of the day, when I sit down with those guys, it's all to give them the best chance to be great. You know, everybody's striving for greatness. So how can I help you learn that path, or how can I help you extend what you've already been doing to become great? And that's all. That's the only thing I want to do. So, I mean, it's even with players on other teams. You know, like Herzog Malaga came out to me after the Calgary game, and I was talking to him, and I was like, hey, in the offseason, you know, if I'm around Calgary, if you want to work, let's work. Sandani, I talked to his parents after one of the Rider games when they played here last year, and I said the same thing. I said, yeah, if he wants to work, let's work. I enjoy it. I enjoy giving back. Man, somebody's got to – I feel like I set the standard. Now that's the standard, and that's what you go for. So I want to help somebody go get that and set the new standard, right? So let's raise the bar, and let's keep making the product a quality product.
Good for you. Yeah. Good for you.
It's interesting, you know, listening to him talk.
Oh, yeah.
Just to hear the passion.
Oh, he's in the right he's in the right profession, obviously.
Right. And the career he had as well. And you want to transfer those qualities and that knowledge to these young players. It's funny, like even with my daughter, when I talked to her about her swimming, you know, and you know, because you got that sort of passion as an athlete that you want to transfer those ideas and those feelings and the experiences you've gone through, you know, and because those windows are small of opportunity.
So yeah. Obviously, I appreciate you both coming in, and it's a big week. It's division final week in the CFL. I'll start with you, Raz. The Fajardo watch starts around noon when the Riders practice starts. It's open to the media, closed to the public, and everybody's going to be following the Fajardo situation. Do you know anything? Do you have a scoop for us? How is he?
My father-in-law goes to Christ the King Church.
Right.
So Cody was sitting behind him last Sunday. And my father-in-law asked him, are you going to be ready? And how's your injury? And Cody said that he's going to be ready. So he said that in church.
You can't lie.
I'm surprised nobody walked up to him in church and just poured the holy water on him. And just splashed him with the holy water.
So
just
been like, probably
healed.
Yeah. So, I mean, hey, everybody's praying for him in the church. I got notice of that from my father-in-law as well. So, hey, you know what? It's one game. Well, two games. But it's one game now, and it's do or die. So that's it's like Streveler. I mean, same thing. You know what? Who cares? You know what? He's worried about one game. And so let's get it done, basically. You know. So I think that's the attitude of a lot of the players. So, but obviously that type of injury, depending what type of injury is going to be, you know, how much you could limit him. I don't know. Yeah.
Is this game all about Cody's status, Nick, do you think?
I think it has a lot to do with it. He does a lot of things with his legs that gives him the ability. And I think that's the biggest difference between him and Harker is his ability to make plays after the play breaks down. Harker being a young guy. And you look at the quarterbacks. You got Dane and Harker, and you have Trevor and now Zach. And
Arbuckle?
No, Zach. Claros.
No, for Claros. I thought you meant the next. Oh, the quarterbacks that are left. I thought you meant the next generation.
Yeah, no, that's left. Yeah. And you look at those two young guys, and my thing with those young guys are they're sporadic. They show up and start throwing picks, or something bad happens. How do they recover in the situation? But then you give the immediate advantage to Trevor. And Zach really doesn't have a lot of playoff experience either, so I put him in that same category with the other one. So it's going to be interesting to see the dynamic of what happens.
What's your take on the game, Raz?
Oh, I just think you couldn't ask for a perfect scenario. Like, here you got a guy that nobody believed in anymore, kind of turfed him to the side, sits in Toronto, and now he's in Winnipeg. I mean, you know what? We all knew he could throw the ball. Right? I mean, it's just the fact that he's injury prone, concussions, et cetera, et cetera. You know what? Now it's his opportunity to prove everybody wrong. And that's what you want. David and Goliath, man, you know what? I'm going to prove you all wrong. And that's what you want as an athlete. You know what? You want to prove people wrong when people don't believe in you. But he's got to keep that under control, too.
You know? Oh, yeah. And like, one of the things, though, I mean, credit to the Riders, man, their coaching staff and their personnel. I'm one of the guys that I've seen Zach firsthand. I was around him last year in training camp. I've watched him from the time he got to Toronto to Hamilton. And when you see the concussion factor, you know, I was around Dave Dickinson a lot. I'm one of the guys that stand up and say, I never wanted to see Zach take the field again, because I want him to protect himself. It's so much more after sports. I'm proud of what he's done, and to be able to take the hit now and to go out there. Hopefully all the quarterbacks can stay healthy and we can see great athletes go out there and compete, because that's the only – you know, they say every great boxer needs another great boxer, right? So you want to see great teams go at it at this time of year, healthy teams go at it as healthy as possible to get to the Grey Cup and then see another healthy championship. You don't want to see one team playing without a quarterback in the Grey Cup, right? We've already seen that story in 2007, right? You want to see the best go at it and let the best be the best.
Yeah. It's interesting you talk like about the concussions. You know, I just saw Ivan Gutfrin today at George Reed Way, you know, the naming of the street in front of the stadium. I was just there. So, you know, we were talking about, you know, Calero's concussions. I don't know, 5 or 6 concussions he's had, I think, in his career. That's what Ivan was saying. So, no, I totally agree with Nick about, hey, you know, what his health and et cetera. But I guess like anybody, you know, he's still got, you know, Zach always has this will or something inside him that, you know what, he thinks he's okay and thinks he still has it, you know, and other people trying to shut him down. Type thing.
Don't they all? Going back to Dunnigan and Dave and Buck Pierce
for sure.
And all those guys.
You know, but who knows? Maybe after this season, maybe he will. Who knows? Shut it down if he wins a championship or something.
But
who
you're
knows?
Always going to feel that way. Just like John Bowman, right? You're always going to feel like you can go out there and make the plays. That's physically, you can still do it.
Yeah.
And I just don't hope that the mental aspect declines too quickly.
Yeah.
But we're going to take a timeout, Raz. Hang on. We do have to talk about the defenses. And there's actually a game in Hamilton, if you haven't heard.
Oh.
Believe it or not. Hamilton, Edmonton. Well, we'll be talking about that. 2019 Grey Cup is in Calgary. I want to ask Nick, as the Calgary guy, you'll always be a Calgary guy to me, what it means to the city and the Grey Cup with the Stamps not in it. Lots to get to this morning. By the way, our poll question for Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center today is back to the Don Cherry talk. Who should be the replacement for Don Cherry? Brian Burke, who did I have? Tiger Williams, Haley Wickenheiser, or Colby Armstrong? And it's kind of neck and neck, last I saw, between Tiger Williams and Brian Burke. Two truculent, grumpy guys. Perfect for the first intermission of Hockey Night in Canada. We'll be right back. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com and catch our podcast wherever you catch your favorite podcasts.
Hi, I'm Joshua John Batista. I'm a staff radiation oncologist at the Allen Blair Cancer Center. CT simulators are essential for all modern radiation treatments. Before a patient can undergo the treatment planning process, the CT simulator is the first step. So it allows us to plan and deliver radiation treatments for thousands of patients.
Our biggest sale of the year has returned. The greatest auto sale is back at Capital GMC. We have over 1,000 new and used vehicles to choose from with savings up to $17,000. And for a limited time, we're offering finance rates as low as 0% on new and used vehicles. Buy or lease a new or used vehicle during the Greatest Auto Sale for your chance to win your payments for a whole year. Run down, walk down, bust down, or fly down. Just get yourself down to Capital's Greatest Auto Sale.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Cheers to the 16 guys who never back down. And to the smooth, refreshing beer with a real beer taste. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
Did you know you can catch all the best moments from the show on all our social media platforms? Now, back to the studio with Rob.
Welcome back, everybody. Time for the Wednesday morning sports update for Seat Giant. The Toronto Maple Leafs get an important player back tonight. Gritty forward Zach Hyman will make his season debut in Toronto's road game against the New York Islanders. The Ottawa Senators look to bounce back tonight after an 8-2 loss in Carolina on Monday. The Sens are in New Jersey tonight. The game features the two worst teams in the NHL's East Conference. Flames hope to extend their point streak to 4 games tonight. They're home to the Dallas Stars. Toronto Raptors will be shorthanded tonight. Toronto's missing 3 key players for its road game against the Portland Trail Blazers. The latest to join the injured list was OJ Arnuby. He won't play after being poked in the eye in LA on the weekend. And Colin Kaepernick plans to audition for NFL teams on Saturday in a private workout arranged by the league to be held in Atlanta. The exiled former Pro Bowl quarterback posted on Twitter about the news. He hasn't played since 2016. And that is your morning sports update for SeatGiant.ca. Stop paying U.S. dollars for sporting events and concerts. We have all major sporting events and concert tickets in Canadian dollars. Enter promo code RPSHOW and get discounts for RP Show fans. Visit seatgiant.ca. Nick Lewis and Dan Rashevich are with us here in the bunker. And by the way, this is the last segment with me. I'm out of here at 11:30. I'm going up to speak to the Hanley, Saskatchewan kids up there. You guys been through Hanley?
Oh, am I taking it from here?
Yeah, yeah, you are. Yeah, I think you can. You and Raz will take over. So I'm out of here at 11:30. I don't know where to go because there are so many topics here. But just a thought on Hamilton Edmonton, if you don't mind. It's the best Tie Cats record ever, 15-3. I'll start with you, Nick. Who do you think wins? What's your take on the game?
Well, just due to history, I believe Hamilton's going to win. They've had 2 weeks to prepare. They're probably prepared for both teams a little bit. And I think Hamilton, just if they control the ball, you have Tyrell Sutton now, who I believe is still one of the best running backs in this league. Control the ball, not turn the ball over. I think their defense is going to play excited. They're going to go out there and fly around, and I think they get the job done.
How about you, Raz?
Well, I'm liking Hamilton, and I've heard that's sold out as well. They've already sold the stadium out for the game.
That's 24,000 people. If BC Place was sold out, I'd be excited. That's a personal pet peeve of mine.
But,
no,
hey,
it's exciting.
Toronto's
sure.
Down the road, too, you got to remember.
Right?
And they don't care about football, it
yep.
seems. So I think it's pretty neat that Hamilton embraces football.
Oh, yeah. Well, they've been waiting a long time for a team like this. And by the way, my friends in Hamilton said, Rod, it's a big deal that the game sold out, so I get it.
I think so, too. So yeah. I think with the fans and just how good they are overall, I just think the talent on that team is amazing. And, I mean, that Dane Evans out of nowhere, like, it's unbelievable. It's just great to see the CFL having this many good young quarterbacks, which is fabulous. So, and they, obviously, hey, Hamilton's got a great D-line, too. And yeah. I can imagine some of the pressure they're going to put on the quarterback.
Oh, yeah, but I bet you Edmonton's just sitting back, rubbing their hands. Nobody's expected anything out of them all year. Don't you think they look pretty good in Montreal?
They did, but Montreal defense looked like they played safe, right? It wasn't like a playoff game. Like, their defensive backs played soft and gave up the underneath throws a lot. And I think if you take that away and they can control the run with their five, right? So if you take the middle linebacker and D-line for Hamilton, if they can control C.J. Gable, then that allows them to put more people underneath, force Trevor to throw the ball downfield. If you look at Trevor back in Ottawa, he had the shortest amount of pass yards attempted. So he didn't like to throw the ball down the field very much. So you have to make him throw the ball down the field and try to make him make some errors. If not, then he'll pick you apart underneath. And that's one of those things. Trevor gets hot, and he just starts picking you apart. So make him make some throws early. It's going to be cold. Make the receivers make some tough catches. And you go out there and do what you do.
I think, like you said, you know, like Montreal's defense, kind of all season, they've kind of been a sort of a bend-but-don't-break type defense, too. you know, generally over the course of the season, where they, you know, they seem to, you know, they give up a lot of yardage type thing, but then when they get to the red zone, they seem to shut teams down, maybe make them kick a field goal, get a turnover. You know, obviously that didn't work as well for them this game, like Nick's sort of saying. So I think, you know, Hamilton's D will put a little more pressure on their offense for sure.
I think we all have Hamilton to win the game and represent the East in the Grey Cup in Calgary. And then back to this West final again, Winnipeg at Saskatchewan. I'm personally excited to see the matchup of Paul LaPolice versus Jason Shivers. I mean, I'll go to you, Coach Lewis. How much is coordinator matchups, especially this time of year, part of the game? Or do the players decide it?
No, I think it's huge. I mean, coaching's a huge factor in it. And they kind of set the tone. You know, the OC and the DC kind of set the tone of how the game's going to go and impose their will. So Shivers, man, he's done some great things. There's games where he plays soft, and there's games where he really attacks the offense. And it's going to be interesting to see. They've had Zach over the last 2 years. They know what Zach struggles with. They know what Zach's good at. So it's going to be interesting that they're going to tailor their game around that. But you still have to tailor your game to when Strebler comes in the game to stop Strebler, because you know no matter what happens, you're going to see Strebler in the game, and he's going to make plays. And you got to be able to stop that. And LaPolice, he keeps you guessing all the time. It's a gadget-style offense that uses so many different people. And I think Darvin Adams is one of the most underrated receivers in this league that can go out there and make plays to win games. And now you got Andrew Harris, you got Nick Dembski, and you have so many different factors on that offense. So it's a great matchup.
Yeah, it's interesting how to use that combination of type of quarterbacks and get the right mix at the right times, and, you know, kind of like a recipe, eh? Like how to use it properly, man, you know, with the right balance. You know, it's just interesting how to, and, you know, fairly quick, you know, and I got Zach and Strebler, and, you know, this just trying to use them the right way at the right times. It's kind of interesting, you know.
And we spent a lot of time on quarterbacks, but Winnipeg's got a lot of weapons, and Andrew Harris had only 57 yards in the West semifinal. How much do you think he factors into this?
With the weather here in Sask, I'm here it's supposed to be 7 degrees, so that's going to be a good thing. So a little bit more throwing, but if the weather turns bad or if it gets really windy, then the ground game plays a huge part, and I think they're two of the best with William Powell and Andrew Harris.
Great matchup there, too.
Carry the load and get the job done for the offense.
Yeah, it's going to be good. I don't know. It's just going to be a fun game to watch. I'm really excited, looking forward to it. And Dave Albright's flying into town for it from California. He was our middle linebacker in 89.
What's the occasion?
He wants to come catch a game in the new stadium. He has never caught a game here. And, plus it's a Western final. And another teammate, Drinkwalter's coming. So Poli, Aldag, and a bunch of us, Ivan, are going to get together here, have a little reunion. Nick, you're welcome to join us if you want.
I appreciate it, man. You know,
of course.
Like
of course.
10 years now, Regina gets the Western final at home. You know, I remember 10 years ago when we came in here. It was good.
The other thing I got to mention, though, speaking of defense, is Richie Hall. Somebody was saying to me this week, Richie's finally getting the credit for how good a coordinator he is. And I'm thinking, well, we knew for a long time here that he is a great defensive coordinator. Nick, you've matched up against him for years. And now he's in charge of Winnipeg defense coming in. How big of a factor is that going to be?
It's good. And, you know, as a player, you know Richie's going to run cover four. But now he's changed it up. And he's actually expanded what he does. And it's not just the normal cover four that you see in Richie. And I think that it goes back to like last year and the years previous on how they've lost in the playoffs. So I'm glad to see Richie change it up a little bit, and I'm looking forward to it, man. There's great coaches, there's great players, and this could be a great weekend of football.
Yeah, I don't know, I just think it's kind of amazing. You know, I got to play with Richie. You know, he actually was our coach, coached me for a while. You know, and now I get to watch him kind of coaching again in a Western final. It's going to be kind of fun to watch.
That's kind of the Nick Lewis thing, too.
Well, that's
and
going to
pinball,
be you,
actually, to go from playing to coaching almost effortlessly. Yeah. And if I recall with Richie, that was almost like flipping a switch, too.
Yep.
It was
that's
a pretty seamless transition for him.
Yep.
Yeah, it's not a hard transition. It's easier when guys respect you, when guys know who you are and they respect you. But you have to really set that hard line on who you are and how you can help them. It's not, I'm Nick Lewis, I've done this, let me help you. It's hard for great players to really become great coaches because they believe there's only one way to do things, or there's a one, you know, there's a hard line on how you do it. Due to training the kids for the 11 years, it allowed me to now step back and say, okay, I take so many different positions, so running back, D-line, O-line, receivers, and got to help them get college scholarships. So now it's like, how can I help each individual person? And it's all different. So you don't coach everyone the same. You treat everyone the same, but you don't coach them the same. So set the standard and just really show them that you're there to help them.
Last one before I got a split, and Dupes will take over here, but Duron. I love Duron. I've had him on the show and told him that I love Duron. Great guy. What do you think he's going to do next?
I don't know. That's one of those things that, for me being early in my career, you understand that you're misunderstood. You understand that you say things, it's taken certain ways, and when people stop caring what you say before you say it, you don't care how you say it. And that's one of those guys, I've had conversations with Duron, and it's part of the growth, and you have to go through it. And nobody understands what we go through in our family lives, what we go through out of football. Everybody thinks Duron has a perfect life, and he doesn't. And that's one of those things where people have to really step back, view him as the person and not the player, approach him as the person and not the player, and allow the player to exceed what he is as a person. And I think that's one of the biggest things for Duron. And, you know, I wish him well. That's my little brother. You know, I played with him again in Montreal, and that's one of those things where I have a bond with so many guys in this league, and I just want to see them do well.
Well, the thing that I also don't think people know about Duron, and I think he doesn't know it, is he has this aura, like a tractor beam that sucks you in. He's very attractive. And now that he's older, and you've seen it coaching him, the younger guys look up to him.
Yeah.
And it's like, Duron, you need to lead because everybody's going to follow you. So which way are you going to go?
Yeah.
And he's at a point in his life where he doesn't know. I don't think he wants to be the leader. He has said that. Well, I just want to be me.
He doesn't really just want to be the leader, but he's got to understand that he wants to go out and prove everybody wrong.
And that's fine, too.
And when you don't, and I've been through this, when you want to prove everybody wrong and then you don't get the opportunity to prove everybody wrong, or you're not getting it, or things are not going your way, is how you handle it. That's a hard thing when you want to prove, especially when everybody talks about his dad. Everybody talks about, oh, you'll never be your dad, or you'll never be this, you'll never be that. So then it's like, okay, well, I want to go do that. But there's got to be a way to really break down that barrier of who he is and be able to approach that in a positive way and not let it always go negative.
Yeah, he'll be playing next year somewhere.
Somewhere.
It'll be fun to watch all winter. Yeah. Nick, I appreciate this. We got to do it lots more, I hope, throughout the winter.
Hey, let me know.
Yep, and he's not going anywhere. I am. Dupes will be back here in this chair right after this timeout. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com and catch all the best clips on our YouTube channel.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition, and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Your favorite movies. Your episode after episode after episode season marathon. All in one beautiful little box. With Max TV Stream from Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer, you can experience the best of live TV and movies on demand, in home or on the go. Just $99. Entertainment your way, anyway. Get your Max TV Stream media box today for just $99. Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Lives fully connected.
If you've been using an inefficient heating system for indoor or outdoor use, you might be surprised by the quality and comfort that zone-controlled infrared heaters offer. Heating Green's energy-saving infrared heaters transfer sun-like warmth directly to people and objects without noise or maintenance. Increase your comfort and decrease cost, room by room. Our silent infrared heaters are perfect for indoor and outdoor spaces. For greater comfort using less energy, contact us at heatinggreen.com.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
My name is Karen Allen. I was diagnosed with breast cancer in 2007. The treatments themselves were difficult, but the care and attention that I received was phenomenal. But what if, with the advances in technology that have been made, having that better equipment would increase survival rates by 1, maybe 2%. That's people.
Hey, honey, can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram. Time for more of The Rod Peterson Show.
Don't adjust your television sets. Rod Peterson is gone, but his chair is unusually warm. I wanted to say that. Like, abnormally warm. But, yeah, I'm Darren DuPont, Nick Lewis, Dan Rasevich still in. 25 minutes left in the program. Rod's got to go. He's away off to Hanley, so he's got to go speak to the kids and do his thing. So we'll keep the boat above water here for the next half an hour or so. I've been busy. I've been watching the show, so we might catch a touch on some stuff you guys already have. But before we do that, Maurice Mann, the former Argo Ticat Eskimo, is on the video chat. He's waiting here. So, guys, put your headphones on if you can, if they're plugged in. Grab your headphones. We'll go to Maurice Mann. Maurice, how are you, man? Where do we find you today?
Rod, how you doing, man? I'm out here, man, in California.
Good. I'm not Rod, but that's all right. Okay, Rod had to leave. He's got to go. He actually had an appointment in a small town to go see the kids. So I'm Darren, and we'll hit you up for a bit. But you're in California, in Monterey?
Oh, yeah.
Awesome.
Sorry about that, Darren. Yep.
No, it's all good. All good. You know you're doing some great stuff coaching. I got Dan Rasevich and Nick Lewis. Dan's having trouble plugging in his headphones.
Right on the black box there.
Look, see the black box? Come on, Dan. There you go. There's a little spot there. He hasn't plugged in headphones before, so now we can hear you. Okay, so you got Nick Lewis here, got Dan Rasevich, an 89 Grey Cup champion, right? And of course you know Nick. First, tell me what you're doing in California. Tell me about the coaching and what you're trying to do down there.
Okay, so just like Nick is, right, man, we like to be students of this game, and you know, so we're just helping out athletes, building them, molding their craft, making them stronger, faster, a lot faster is my goal, and just better. So we do sports performance training for all athletes here, man, in California, man, in the Monterey Bay area, and it's been great.
I've been doing it since
I've been playing.
No, that's awesome. That's what we love to hear. But I hear you're following the CFL closely. So what do you make about what's gone on in the last couple of weeks as we get into the Final Four? What's your take right now on where the league's at?
First and foremost, man, the team that blessed me, though, the opportunity, though, to get up there, man, was the, Eskimos. And I'm super happy to see Trevor Harris back. Trevor Harris does some big things, though, against the Ticats. So my prediction is Trevor has another big game, but I also though believe in Brandon Banks though too as well, man. And I think that Steiny over there, Orlando, okay, you know Steiny does a great job though calling a great defense. But my prediction boldly is I believe in Jordan Younger, Richie Hall out there, and Winnipeg, and I believe they may run into a tough, Hamilton Tiger Cat team. But I believe that Trevor Harris though will have a day out there in Hamilton.
All right. So are you taking Edmonton over Hamilton? Is that the bold prediction? It's never happened that a Western team has gone to the East and crossed over. So you got Edmonton and Hamilton in the Eastern final. Who do you got?
I'm going to say that Hamilton takes it. I just think that they got a really solid defense. I think that, Steiny is ready though for this though opportunity. But I also though believe in Jay Moss. Jay Moss is going to have his guys ready. You know, I was there though for a training camp with Jay Moss, and everything though he does is just next level. Super, super smart guy. Almost though as smart as Nick, but not quite. You know, Nick is probably one of the smartest athletes though I've been around. But that's another story. I just feel like with the firepower that, you know, Hamilton is bringing, I feel like, man, they've been playing well on offense. But I really feel like, man, their defensive scheme is pretty good, though, for what Jay Moss does, you know. And I just – I feel it's like it's all about matchups. I just don't know if, you know, they'll be able to put up, though, enough points, man, in that cold weather over there. But if they can stop the run game, they'll have a good chance.
You won a Grey Cup in 2012 with the Toronto Argonauts. What does it take at this time of year to win a Grey Cup? What did it take for you guys? What was special about that 2012 group?
You really got to get rid of all selfishness, man. You got to buy in to what the team is doing. You really can't be greedy about where the ball goes or who's touching the ball. You all got to just, you know, suck it up. Do what the coach asks you to really do and just make sure, man, that you're out there trying to do your best. You have to sacrifice. So, you know, all the mental lead up, though, to that moment is really about, you know, preparing your body right, eating, sleeping, and not – really trying to put too much pressure though on yourself though. Really just you really just gotta get into a zen state and kind of keep the calm before the storm, really. And I just feel like for me it was really about kind of separating myself from all of the off the field stuff, like the parades and the mm-hmm. events, and just to focus on the film and the football. And that's kind of what I did, and it worked out though for me and us.
Did you hear what Nick said? Because you were on the other side, right, Nick?
Yeah, I was on the other side.
What did you say when I asked about what was key to that game?
I said Jones knowing all the calls that we were making offensively. They did say, Jones did tell me they had a key to know every run and pass that we did. So I don't know if it was a key or just us practicing in the facility.
Are we talking like a Bill Belichick?
No, I'm just playing. Don't practice. I'm just playing. But no, but they did say they had a defensive key on one of our linemen where they knew it was run or pass every play because their defense called it out. Mm-hmm. But hey, hats off to them. They played a great game. I mean, Mo played great. Dontrell Inman played great. Chad Kackert played great. So it was a great. You know, they got on a hot streak and they won the last couple games to get in the playoffs and. They got it done.
With film and everything, so, you know, everything's out there. You can see so many different angles and you study the game so much. Can you really, like, you can get tells from the opposition, right? Like that, if it's going to be run or a pass. Certain guys do certain things that they don't even realize.
I mean, quarterbacks from having a staggered stance to,
right.
You know, just a natural stance, run, pass, key, from a lineman putting his hand on his hip or hand on his knee. And, you know, Chris Jones is one of the best at watching film and finding those little details on what people do.
Agreed.
And that's one of the things. That's part of the preparation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when it's cold outside, there's different things that people do. So mm-hmm. it's a lot of different keys that coaches look into to try to give their players the biggest advantage possible.
Do you study yourself then? Do teams study themselves to know what their tells are?
You have to self-scout yourself. You have to understand what you do. Whether, like receivers. Mo knows if a receiver's coming down in his waggle and he's not really running, usually a run. If he's coming down and his shoulders are forward and he looks like he's running, it's probably a pass. So it's just that simple as well. I mean, Charleston Hughes is another guy who he times up the snap count off the waggle, not off the snap count. Right? So he's looking at that waggle to time it up. He's not really looking at the ball.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's different keys that different players use, and they'll know when somebody's trying to run to the line and stop and reset. So it's a part of your preparation.
Yeah, I can see that for sure.
Can I ask Mo a question real quick?
Well, of course you can.
I want to go back to you training kids, and you know something I've done for a long time, and something people don't understand is high school coaches, junior high coaches, college coaches are no longer into developing athletes. They're only into winning.
Yeah.
So now it's about getting the best players the ball and winning. So now those guys that are average or good never get the chance to become better and go on to college and become better and get to the pros, right? That's why we have such a big discrepancy of athletes. So one, I want to say thank you for doing that. And two, can you just talk to the people about how you give kids the opportunity? And parents need to understand this too, is because the coach that your kid is seeing every day, he didn't care about your kid going to college. He cares about keeping his job and winning. So can you talk about your mindset and using you and what you've done as a player to give these kids the advantage to go on to college and possibly the pros?
Okay. Well, that's a great topic and a great subject because, you know, I kind of been talking really heavily on, you know, though my social media, though, about, you know, how to play the game properly. And, you know, it really comes down to the proper effort, attitude, and just the sacrifice that you want to put in, though, to really making the game great. Coaches spend too much time trying to prepare their team to run certain plays. So once you get to practice, it's kind of really all about the plays, like in the system. There's not really, you know, methods of really teaching the players how to tackle or really, you know, getting them involved in some sort of off-season speed training program or stuff though like that. That's very important though, just to making a good athlete. If we keep it simple, right? If we get people to outsource their information and to figure out the best possible way of tackling the new technology, that's important though for athletes though to be aware of, but also still just keeping the game very simple. So practices though should more so be about, you know, not only just, you know, what plays we're running, but also just how to form fit on a good tackle and to understand the tendencies that players show to give them, though, a head start. So what we like to do is we like to spend, though, a whole lot of time in our 7-on-7, and we try to get guys to play multiple spots because in learning how to play, though, different positions though on the field though, you kind of learn though how to wrap the game though around the whole circle of control, which is just pretty much you being inside of what you need to do and understanding what the people around you are supposed to do though to make the team a successful.
Yeah.
So it comes down to, you know, do you take time to study film as a kid, which is pretty much just YouTube clips on how to improve something that you're weakest at, you know. Every day I try to get a kid to lose, man, in my gym. I try to make them understand though how to accept failure, because unlike baseball, you kind of got to be 100% on your task. You know what I mean? You can't go 2 out of 10 for catching a ball, or the coach won't really like you though very much. So we focus on the simple task of catching the ball, depth perception, hand-eye though coordination, just being able to chase people around. Though we play flag football, though we're at the beach all day, you know, just catching the rock, and we keep it super simple, and then apply the sports performance side to it, where we teach them though how to lift properly though at a young age. So when you get your opportunity though in college though, you get a head start, or in high school though, you got a head start though on kids. But everything that we see out here is based on how well the coaches are teaching and preparing the kids for the next level. And what I feel like we need to do a better job is outsourcing, man, our information to make these kids a little bit more prepared for what's coming. Mm-hmm. And I don't think we do a good job, but I feel like it's something that we can improve upon. If we stop trying to scare the kids into playing, which is another topic, is that all the stats that we use are from the NFL, but that's when athletes are running 21 miles per hour, 20 miles per hour. So, of course, you know, all those stats that are applied to teaching kids, you know, why the game could be dangerous is not the same level that the pros. So if we taught how to do things right at a young age, the game would be a whole lot safer, and that's what we're trying to do here.
Very cool. That's awesome. Jack Fulton's comment, watching in Calgary, he says, Keon Raymond doing a great job of helping young athletes to develop their skills with his 7-on-7 program in Calgary. So love seeing everybody, former players, giving back. But to your comment, Nick, and you too, Mo, I see this in hockey a lot. I do, with young coaches, in as young as like novice Adam Peewee, really young kids, and it's all about winning. And so in hockey, you've got, you know, your top six forwards are your guys who are going to go score. Your third line's kind of your, you know, and fourth line are your checking guys. And so you have a 10-year-old who's in a checking role, and their job is to go out there and play defense, get over center ice, dump the puck in and change. You know, you're not letting those kids develop, and they might be your best goal scorers in 5 years from now or 10 years from now if they're given that opportunity to just play the game of hockey, but they're being put into roles
early.
So I can see it in football where you're getting a guy just because of the size he is at 7 years old, he's a slot back now, or he's a running back, or he's, because he's a little bigger, he's got to be an offensive lineman. Like, we're not letting kids move around, figure out where they, where their skills are, what they like to do, if they like to play offense or defense.
And as a Division II walk-on again, I had to develop certain skills. You know, it wouldn't, guys didn't really come out of where I went to school, high school, and play college football or go to the pros. So that's one of those things, is making sure we're giving the proper training to kids to have the best chance to do what they want to do.
True.
And it's not about going on YouTube and just finding videos, right? You can find a video, but if you don't do it properly, you work hard on creating bad habits. And a guy like Mo, you know, who's a great route runner, who ran with speed, who can make the play at the top, those are things that regular people can't just teach. You know what I'm saying? I can watch a video and say, okay, this is what you do because I see you doing it. But the mindset behind it and how you approach it goes so much deeper, man. And I appreciate you on that, Mo.
So, what's the future for you? Coaching in your future? You want to get back to Canada? Is the CFL something that's on your radar? Or do you have other plans when it comes to the future and coaching?
I mean, I love the game. I love teaching. So whether that's high school, whether that's CFL, whether that's the NFL, which is the ultimate goal, you know, I'm definitely chasing, you know, at the limelight, though, of getting in that space. But I got a whole lot more learning to do myself. And, you know, it just takes time. And, you know, I'm not rushing the process. I'm just trusting the process. So, you know, I've been learning that the best thing about being in the CFL is I've taken so many schemes and so many different you know, perceptions of football, and I brought them down to the NFL game. And, you know, a lot of the stuff, you know, they just don't know how to handle because they're not prepared to be out leveraged by numbers. So, you know, the RPO system, though, which is now super popular in America or the States, you know, has always been a staple, though, in our game. And I used to love to watch Ben Cahoon and Anthony Though Cavillo go to work, man, on the RPO system, though, without even the option of running, learning how they set those plays up to where they would stack each other, and Ben would end up with 150 catches, though, a year. And, that Mark Trestman system is still built in from Scott Milanovich. And I'm using a ton of what I would do up there down here, and it's absolutely a kind of a cheat system, you know, that I feel like if people get to expand their thought process of learning, where I coached on defense, though, too, as well, which kind of opened up, though, my eyes on you know and how to call the proper offense. And it's really just that, you know, I want to learn from Richie Hall, and I want to learn, and I want to be a part of what the Dickinsons, I mean, what Dickinson is doing in Saskatchewan. I feel like he is one of the best coaches to come to the CFL. Like, I mean, the stuff that he's doing up there, and he's giving ownership of his program to his coaches, you know, and that right there gives ownership to the players, which gives, you know, that sense of that sense of just understanding that we're all working to do our job, and no one's trying to over micromanage everything and make everything happen the way they feel it should be, because coaches got to coach and players though got to play. So I love where the CFL is going. You know, honestly, I wish that Claiborne though would have got another chance, but I don't know all the details though in that. I know that there's some great coaches. Nick is going to be a great coach. I wouldn't be surprised to see him though on a panel or in a locker room very soon. Of course, man, we all know that. Super smart guy. And, you know, building that brand of football from the States to the CFL is a very important process though for me. So I want to be connected to both.
Yeah.
To say the least.
That's awesome.
Very cool. How long till we see you and Nick on a staff together, on the sideline together?
Be a hell of a receiver.
Hey, it's going to be a mean no receiving core though, for sure.
Good.
I really enjoyed coaching running backs,
so
though.
Yeah.
I really did enjoy coaching the running backs. And I got out of it what I wanted to get out of it, right? And that was to really shore up the inside. So now I'm drawing up my own protection plans and doing things like that. So it's all about the progression of knowing it all.
Good.
Right? So
there you go.
It's about the progression. Yeah, the box is everything, right?
The box is everything. That's where it starts.
Mo, appreciate this so much, taking some time to chat with us today, and hope we can do this again soon. I'm sure Rod would love to catch up with you, so hopefully he can get a chance to do this again real soon.
Yeah, thanks.
Keep up all the good work down there. Maurice Mann, Great Cup champ, former CFL receiver, Argos, Ticats, Eskimos, joining us on the video chat. Guys, thanks for coming in today. We really appreciate it.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Hey, it was great listening to these guys talk about the coaching. Hey, it makes me reflect back on my college days as well and how lucky I was in terms of, we actually had a strength coach, which was an Olympic lifter for Canada. So we were doing, this is 1980. We were doing plyometrics. We were doing like the types of workouts we were doing. Which
yeah.
So probably different than a lot of other, I mean, I don't think a lot of universities were even doing things like that. So anyways, it made a big difference, you know, having good coaching, good training and all that, all these aspects.
Yeah. And for me, I care about the players.
Yeah.
Right? From being there, I care about the players a lot. So my whole approach is the fact that I care about you. I want you to protect yourself. I want you to grow and, you know, become great men of leadership. Right. So that's what it's about.
What's up for you now, Nick? Wait and see mode.
Yeah. I'm in wait and see mode. See who the next head coach is at BC. And, hopefully get an interview and see if I can stay there. If not, then, you know, try to interview somewhere else and get on. And but right now I'm just trying to put together a men's leadership boot camp, calling all men in Regina and around the surrounding areas to come. And it's a fun, competitive boot camp with prizes and things like that that just allows you to get out, learn leadership skills. Last time I brought in riders each week and different things like that. So it's a fun time to get out and just compete.
So not a physical boot camp?
No, it's well, there's physical drills.
Yep.
There's, you know, doing exercises and things like that. But you're competing. You compete individually. And once the winners win, they choose teams and they choose captains. And then they compete against each other. Two teams compete against each other. And the winning team, either the winning team will win something or the winning captain will win something. So it was good. One of the guys last time, never done yoga before. I gave away a month or a week free yoga pass, and now he does yoga 4 or 5 days a week. So
very cool.
You know, it's all about bringing that to your environment.
That's awesome. How do people get signed up?
I'll be putting some stuff out on my social media soon.
Okay.
Looking for a facility to do it at here, and
yep.
Regina can't do it outside this year, so I'll be putting something out soon with that. And yeah, ready to get rocking and rolling.
Keep in touch. We'll help you out wherever we can with that.
Appreciate it.
Okay, we'll get you guys on again soon.
Right on.
Okay, Dan Rasevich, Nick Lewis. We got overtime next, the short one. We'll wrap up, do some house cleaning, get you set for the rest of the week. It's The Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's The Rod Peterson Show. Tune in March, Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon, to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends.
Our biggest sale. sale of the year has returned. The greatest auto sale is back at Capital Ford Lincoln. With savings up to $19,000. And for a limited time, finance rates are as low as 0% on new and used vehicles. Plus, most new vehicle purchases come with a free set of winter tires. And buy or lease a new or used vehicle during the Greatest Auto Sale for your chance to win your payments for a whole year. Run down, walk down, bust down, or fly down. Just get yourself down to Capital's Greatest Auto Sale.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
Welcome to the overtime segment for Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. We're checking updates right now, trying to scan practice as the practice week is underway in the CFL. So forgive me if we're checking the Twitter feed, looking for updates. I know Clark is on that right away. Word out of Winnipeg is Chris Streveler is not on the field for practice today. So Chris Streveler nursing the broken foot, the bruised ribs, whatever's going on with Chris Streveler that we didn't see in the game against Calgary on Sunday, seems to be keeping him out of the lineup, at least for practice today. If you missed the show today, you can catch the podcast, Hour 1 and Hour 2, up on iTunes, or I guess it's not iTunes anymore. It's Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, Stitcher, Spotify, CastBox, and all the rest. We do have a poll question to get to today. I want to update that, Clark, if we can. Our poll question for Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center today is kind of the last little bit that we're talking about with Don Cherry. Who's the best replacement for Don Cherry? The options are Tiger Williams, Brian Burke, Haley Wickenheiser, or Colby Armstrong, and 39.3% of you say Brian Burke, followed closely at 28% by Tiger Williams. So we'll see. We'll be watching closely on Saturday night to see what they decide to do. That's going to be interesting. Big thanks to Nick Lewis, Dan Rasevich for joining us today in Hour 2. Big thanks again, Rich Sutter, joining the program. Who else was on today? Maurice Mann and Derek the Duke Myers was in Hour 1. We had a great chat about the two division final games. We really got into the Riders and Bombers. We really got into Hamilton and Edmonton, and we're going to do that throughout the rest of the week too here on the program, which is going to be great. Tomorrow on the show, the Silver Fox, Kelly Rempel, will be in studio. We'll have our new CFL playoff analyst, Sean Lemon, joining us. He went 1-1 in his semifinal predictions, so he'll be along with his CFL East and West final predictions. Steve Dangle, the Toronto Maple Leafs blogger, will be and podcaster will be on the program tomorrow. Our good friend, Ivan, a good friend, will be on too. Rod will love that. And Kelly Bates, the offensive line coach from the BC Lions, will be on tomorrow as well. So big show tomorrow. We're going to get right into the football. And, of course, your comments and questions appreciated on the Prairie Mobile text line all day. We love your comments as you guys are excited for the East and West Final. The Prairie Mobile text line, your Sastel authorized dealer, 306-840-8770. If you got questions between now and tomorrow, get them in on the text line and Rod will have them in the morning. Clark, anything else for housekeeping that I'm missing today? Yeah, lots of football talk tomorrow. That's all we got. Tons of football talk tomorrow, and we'll dabble in a little bit of hockey. Canada-Russia series kicks off in the Western Hockey League tonight in Saskatoon, so enjoy the game at Sastel Center. And until tomorrow for Rod Peterson, who's away, but he'll be back first thing in the morning. I'm Darren DuPont. Thanks for watching the Rod Peterson Show here on Facebook Live and listening live at rodpeterson.com.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.